Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Al. Sorry about the show starting 30 minutes later, man. I apologize. The settings was off again. So the time zone settings was off again. They had me in like New Guinea or something. I had to change it back to my state. But so we're good now. So we're gonna go ahead and start the book club. I appreciate you guys, you know, being a part of the book club. I know it's kind of late, but we'll go ahead and get started. Right now, we got 12 people on Facebook, 8 on Twitter, 11 on Instagram, 14 from my email list. So it's almost 50 people on the call that's part of the book club. So appreciate that. Now, my intention tonight is to expose ideas and strategies that you can implement immediately to take action on, you know, anything that you have in your life right now that may seem impossible. Because the book that we're doing for January is by Dr. Robert Anthony. You know, it's called How to Make the Impossible Possible. You know, and this guy, I've been knowing about him since 2011. Phenomenal, just phenomenal author for sure. So I want to go ahead and let you guys in on one of his books. So what we're going to do right now is actually just do like a brief synopsis over the chapter one and chapter two. And then if some of you guys want to call in, you can. If not, then you guys just have the record to listen to. All right. So the first chapter he talks about is the chapter one is labeled Something Will Always Go Wrong. Okay. So he says that problems are part of life, you know, and they are just in, he says, problems are part of life and they are just in our life to show us the difference between where we are and where we want to be. So, you know, in this whole chapter, he talks about, you know, problems and looking at basically a different paradigm shift on the way we look at the problems in our life. He also talks about it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you. Now, that is so true. You know, it's not about the problems in our life. You know, it's not about what happens to us with these problems. You know, it's about how we respond to it. And this is all leading up to, you know, how to make the impossible possible in your own life as well. Another key point was that our beliefs are important. So, you know, he asked the question, like, is it really bad luck in our life? You know, when bad problems come, when bad things come, or is it just us living out our beliefs stored in our subconscious mind? I really love that because, you know, a lot of people believe bad luck, you know, bad things keep happening to them, or they believe it's a curse on them or whatever. But, you know, I don't think it's any of that. What it is you don't get what you want. We don't get what we want in life. We get who we are. So if we are people that's based, you know, on negativity and, you know, drama all the time, then that's what we're going to see in our life. So, you know, that's what's played out. Another key point he talked about in the book was he says your life will always appear to be unfair, you know, but it's not that at all, because things in your life are the way they are because of the way you are. You know, and that goes back to the quote I just said, you know, we don't get what we want. We get who we are in life. You know, so we just got to change our perception on problems that we have in our life. You know, it's a paradigm shift. Now, this whole chapter one is talking about, you know, something will always go wrong. That's the title of it. Was when we experience problems, we must always understand that the lesson, quote unquote, is more important than the solution. I mean, what did you learn? You know, that was so important to me. I had to write that one down because, you know, every time we got a problem or something that come up in our life, we always want to tackle it, you know, and come up with a solution to the problem. Like, oh, I got to get this thing out of my life. But we'll keep repeating the same problem over and over and over again until what? We learn the lesson from it. You know, and then when we learn a lesson, then we won't repeat it again if we really learned the lesson. So that's what he was talking about, which is so powerful, especially in my own life. He also talks about if we focus on, I just said that, so sorry. Next bullet point. He also says nothing has meaning except for the meaning you give it. So your power comes from the meaning. And I knew of this saying before by Anthony Robbins, that nothing has meaning except for the meaning we give it. So the problems and issues that we have in our life, the only reason it has power over you right now, I don't care what it is in your life, you know, something that happened, something somebody did to you or whatever, the only reason it has power over you right now, and you know that it has power if you're complaining about it, thinking about it all the time, right? It's only because of the meaning that you're giving it. You see what I'm saying? You're giving it a meaning that's not empowering you. So if you give it a meaning that's empowering, then you can take control of that situation. That can help you create, you know, do something that seems impossible and make that thing that may seem impossible possible. Also, another bullet point is, it's not the way that we perceive the things that's the problem. You know, so again, goes back to perception is reality. You know, it's not the problems in our life, it's the way that we perceive it. You know, so, and I like how you put, and I put this on my Facebook, that problems are wake-up calls for creativity. You know, problems are in our life are wake-up calls for creativity. So I love that. Now, this was a good one right here in the chapter. He says problems can motivate problems can motivate us to change and ultimately make things work better for ourselves and others. So he was saying that problems in our life actually can be a good thing to actually help us, you know, and to help other people that's a part of the problem. So we, you know, everything that looks bad doesn't have to be bad. It may look bad right now, but in the end, you know, it's going to benefit everybody is what he's saying. Also, another bullet point was, when a problem comes up, we need to ask ourselves, what's good about this? You know, because we always get what we're looking for. You see what I'm saying? So if we got a problem that's coming up, we need to ask ourselves, what's good about this? You know, even the baddest thing that may come up, we need to ask ourselves, what is the good in this bad situation? You know, because we get what we're looking for. So if we ask ourselves, what's the good in it, in this terrible situation that you're in right now, then you'll find the good in it, and you'll find something to be grateful for versus feeling terrible versus feeling like crap. You know, that's what you're focusing on. That's what you're looking for. So that's why you're feeling like crap and feeling bad, because you're not looking for the good in that bad situation. Don't tell me it's not something good. Trust me. I've had some situations in my life in the last year that was absolutely terrible at first, but when I actually looked for the good in it, situation actually became something that I actually became fond to be grateful of, okay? So another bullet point is, there's no such thing as failure, really, because everything that we fail at or everything that is bad is actually ultimately leading us back to who we are. You know, it's ultimately leading us back to our purpose. So we may get into the wrong job, wrong marriage, wrong whatever, and it may look like a failure, but it's ultimately leading us back to ourselves. That's why it's good to know your purpose and know what your life purpose is, because it doesn't matter, you know, what failure or whatever situation you're going through, it's just leading you back. It's just trying to get you, it's like life trying to get you back on track to yourself, to come to yourself. But you got to know who you are. Another bullet point was, if we don't see our part in the problem we have and we choose to play the victim role, then we can never make the impossible possible. Because every time you blame, you give up your power. I thought that was so powerful. You know, we have to see our part in the problem. The problems in our life right now. If you keep blaming other people, like, oh, it's her fault, it's his fault, my job fault, it's the economy fault. You know, I'm not saying that they don't have any partaking at all. I'm saying is you got to look at yourself and see what part did you play in the problems in your life, and the psychology behind that is, if you do that, then you'll see that you played a part in that. You know, that you had a creation in that. And the good thing about it is, if you created a bad result or helped create a bad result, then you can uncreate that and change and shift that energy to create what? A good result, the opposite result of what you created, which was bad. See, that's what people really don't get. Like, take responsibility for the bad things in our life. Because when we see that we actually help create that with our own negative thoughts and energy and actions, then we say, oh, wow, I created that bad thing. Wow, I got power now. Now I can actually reverse engineer the process and focus on what I want, take actions on that, and shift the energy, and then I can create what I want and be a deliberate creator. Okay? So another bullet point was in chapter one, was learn the lesson and throw away the experience. I thought that was so wonderful that Dr. Barbara Anthony put in there. He said, learn the lesson and throw away the experience. So it's like whatever problem that we have in our life or something that we may be regretting or whatever, we need to learn the lesson. Like, okay, don't do this again or do this again and throw away the experience, you know. So, you know, if somebody end up, you know, doing something bad to you or whatever, just learn the lesson and just throw away the experience, okay? The last thing that we have for chapter one is, he said, learn to be at cause and not at effect. So we have to learn how to be at a cause in our life. Like everything in our life, we cause versus saying, oh, you know, this happened to me, that happened to me. Like we can't make the impossible possible. We don't have any power, okay? We don't have any personal power. Then how can we do something? How can we make the impossible possible? You know, we have to be at cause. We have to know that we're at cause in our life, you know, and not at effect, meaning like, oh, things just happened to me. You know, the world is just happening to me. No, you're at cause. You're causing these things, you know, good and bad. And you gain a lot of personal power from that. I'm telling you. Okay. So let's shift over into chapter two. Chapter two is the greater self and the created self. Now, as you guys seen, you know, these are some long chapters. I was reading the book. I was like, wow. I was like, dang, man, these chapters kind of long. I think one of the chapters, this chapter right here was what? Almost 40-something pages, I think. But, you know, I went ahead and pressed through so I can, you know, paraphrase for you guys. All right. So chapter two, he talks about, you know, he basically in this whole chapter right here, the greater self and the created self, he's just talking about how we need to understand that we come from a powerful spirit, which we call God, and we need to tap into that to help us create, you know, to make something that seems impossible to us possible. So this is what he's talking about in this whole chapter. So what he talks about is just imagine you're in front of the Pacific Ocean in California. I guess it's the Pacific Ocean. Don't quote me on that. But let's say you're in California right now, right? Just imagine that. You're on a beach. You feel the water on your toes. And you got a bucket, right? And you dip that bucket in the ocean. And then let's say you live in New York. You fly back to New York with that bucket of ocean. You put the bucket of ocean on your countertop after you flew back to your place in New York. And you ask the bucket of ocean that you got from California, and you say, hey, bucket of ocean, are you the ocean? What do you think the bucket should say? Now, I think it would be ignorant for the bucket to say, I'm not the ocean. No, the bucket is the ocean. It's not the totality of the ocean. It can't create, you know, it can't drown humans and, you know, help sharks breathe and all that because it's just a little bucket of ocean. But at the end of the day, what is it? It's the ocean. So it's the same thing with us. Like, we come from God, you know, and we're not the totality of God. You know, we can't do like all these, you know, we can't create the weather and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what are we? We're little G gods. And we need to tap into that power within ourselves to help us, you know, make the impossible possible. And that's what he's talking about in this chapter. You know, we need to know where we came from, basically. So, let's see. He talks about we need to sit down and write on paper, like, our assets and our liabilities. We actually need to write this down on paper. Like, we need to write down what are our assets and what are our liabilities. He was saying you need to look at your assets in your mental life, your spiritual life, your physical life, whatever skills that you have and whatever. You also need to make a list of assets and liabilities and persistence. So he was talking about how you know, mentally, we need to see what assets we have mentally, you know, and yeah, so somebody trying to call in. Hold on. Sorry about that, guys. Somebody's trying to call in. All right, so he was saying we need to make a list of assets and liabilities. And he also was talking about how we need to set goals for every major area of our lives. So, you know, the major areas of your life is mental, spiritual, business, financial, physical. And then you got your health, and then you got leisure and travel. So he was saying we need to set the major, we need to set goals for ourselves. And he also was talking about in this chapter how we need to check our vision against our personal assets and liabilities. You know, and he also was talking about commitment. So, you know, when you're talking about making the impossible possible, he was saying that it's going to be hard to do that if we're not committed to a life purpose. So when you actually know your life purpose and an obstacle comes up that seems impossible, that may seem like it's getting in the way of your goal, then he was saying if you're committed to the goal and you know who you are and what your purpose is, then by you staying persistent and having and doing assets and liabilities, doing like a mental or soul inventory, as he calls it, then you need to come up with those qualities about yourself, and it'll help you, like, overcome. It'll help you, it'll help us, you know, take the necessary steps where we can make the impossible, something that seems impossible, possible. So, lastly, in the book, I'll read off some things that he was talking about. He said to make the impossible possible in our lives, we need to go from fear. We need to go from fear of taking risks, fear of rejection, and fear of self-rejection, to focusing on where support can come from and supporting yourself with positive affirmations. He says we need to go from letting others bring you down to self-nurturing, allowing yourself to be nurtured and setting boundaries with others. He also talks about how we need to go from feeling overwhelmed, feeling controlled, and feeling weak and helpless to seeing our problems as perfect messages that can resolve, knowing your greater self is your power. He also talks about how we need to go from not loving ourselves, feeling all used up and feeling drained because all that we do is drudgery, to loving ourselves, loving others, and loving what we do. He also talks about how we need to go from the self that everyone else created for us, you know, being jealous of others, to going to recovering our self-identity, recovering our greater self by getting in touch with our inner self. He also talks about how we need to go from giving our power away to others who criticize us, who control, blame, and cause chaos, to following our intuition and letting it guide us fearlessly, from anger and separation to freedom and to dream. Sorry, I messed up right there. We also need to go from resistance, impossibility, and rigidity to going with the flow, being receptive and creative. Talks about how we need to go from fearing to take risks, having to be perfect, to resourcing universal intelligence for all our needs. How we need to go from sense of lack and limitation in our minds to a sense of unlimited resources that are attainable. how we need to go from disbelief or should have to thinking, you know, lack in self, to knowing that universal intelligence is abundant, or God is abundant. So, there one and two was about, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, you know, so I don't know if anybody will be calling in because, you know, call was supposed to start at 10 and now we started at 10:30. So, but so this is the first book club, you know, if you guys want to look, listen back through the call, I would suggest that you write down either two or three things in your life that may seem impossible. You know, and then you can go through chapter one and chapter two, or just listen to this audio again and just come up with a plan on how you can overcome, you know, that situation. And by listening to this audio and reading the book, you know, you can come up with a better plan, you know, or at least have more faith in, you know, overcoming that situation. But, you know, another thing he talked about in chapters one and two is that when we want to make, when we want to do the impossible, we have to figure out what the end result is, you know, and we can't indulge our minds in the process of, you know, doing this impossible, this thing that seems impossible. We need to live in the end. You know, we need to go to the end and say, okay, well, if you had a magic genie in front of you and they can just wave a magic wand, you know, how would it look? You know, how would it look and how would it feel if it were true? You know, and that's what he talks about in chapter two as well. Like, you know, whatever, like a lot of times when we try to do something that seems impossible, you know, we don't even know exactly how it looks, you know, as far as the end result. And so that's what he was talking about as well. We need to dwell on the end result and really focus on that. And, you know, that'll help us overcome it just by having the clarity of, you know, the end result and how it looks if it was overcome, you know, if we actually achieve the impossible, something that seems impossible. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. So, you know, I appreciate you guys listening in. You know, this Sunday we actually have part two to the subconscious mind. We actually gonna come up with a game plan on how to use it. You know, so you know, we did one last Sunday as well. So we'll be doing these every Wednesday evening. I know we're doing it today on Thursday, but this is the first book club session. So we'll be doing them every Wednesday and every Sunday evening. You know, for the subconscious mind series that we're doing all this month of January. So I appreciate you guys listening in. This is Al. You guys can give me a shout, 225-255-0832. I promise next time everything will be working correctly. You know, we won't be starting early or late or anything like that. So I appreciate you guys listening in. If you guys learned something, just post it on Facebook wall and let people know they can to join the book club. Make sure you let some people know to join our book club. All right, until then, you guys have a great night. This is Al signing out. All right.